It wasn't that long ago, like at all, that learning to program felt a lot like preparing for a high-stakes spelling bee.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. You had to memorize literally every single character, every semicolon, every bracket. And I mean, if you missed one tiny punctuation mark, the whole system just crashed.
And then you'd spend, what, hours just staring at the screen trying to find a single typo.
Exactly. Hours just hunting for a missing comma. But what if the barrier to entry was no longer that rigid syntax, but just your
Your
vibe?
vibe. Yeah, it sounds crazy.
It does. But today, we are doing a deep dive into a really fascinating, highly detailed course brochure for something called the Best Vibe Coding Course in Hyderabad. And this is offered by Vibe Coding Masters, which is a subsidiary of Brawley Academy. We're going to figure out what on earth that buzzword actually means and, how this syllabus represents this massive pivot in how software development is being taught to beginners right now.
Because it really is a radical departure, from the traditional boot camp model. When you look at just the sheer existence of this curriculum, you realize we are no longer just tweaking how people learn to code. We are fundamentally redefining what it means to actually be a developer today.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we can even look at the syllabus itself, we have to deal with the name. I mean, vibe coding. The brochure actually defines it as learning with the right energy and environment and staying motivated.
Right, which sounds lovely.
It sounds like a spa. But looking at the actual tool set they introduce in module one, I mean, this isn't about lighting some incense and just hoping the computer compiles your thoughts.
No, not quite. I mean, it sounds like a wellness retreat, sure. But when you strip away that marketing speak, vibe coding reveals itself as this very clever, highly approachable rebrand for basically AI-assisted coding.
Okay, AI-assisted coding.
Exactly. They are explicitly teaching tools like Cursor. Specifically, its composer mode and, AI is to get right out of the gate.
Wait, so how does that actually work in practice? Like, if I'm tuning in right now and I'm an absolute beginner, how am I using Cursor differently than, say, a traditional code editor?
Well, okay, in a traditional editor, you open a file and you just start typing lines of logic, right,
Yeah,
manually.
right.
But in Cursor, particularly in that composer mode, you can highlight across multiple files in your entire project directory at once. You bring up a prompt box, and essentially you just tell the AI, in plain English, what you want it to build or change.
Wait, really? Across multiple files?
Multiple files simultaneously. You might say, add a user authentication flow, update the database schema to reflect it, and style the login button to match the primary brand color. The AI literally reads the context of your entire project and just generates the syntax across all those different files.
Oh, wow. So it's less about the physical mechanics of typing and more like, wait, it's almost like being a movie director instead of the camera operator.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, because the camera operator is, adjusting the focus ring, setting the aperture, making sure the lens is mechanically perfect. But the director just sits in the chair and dictates the outcome. Like, give me a sweeping shot of the valley with a moody atmosphere.
Right, you aren't touching the lens at all.
Exactly. You are managing the vision.
That is a highly accurate way to look at it, yeah. You are managing the logic, the data flow, the overall architecture, while the AI handles the mechanical typing and all that boilerplate generation.
But I mean, I've got to push back on something here. I'm looking at the syllabus for module one, and it lists a specific topic called vibe debugging.
Ah, yes, vibe debugging.
Now, debugging historically means meticulously tracking down a logic error, like stepping through your code line by line.
Yeah.
Does vibe debugging just mean copying your error message, pasting it into ChatGPT, asking why is my code broken, and crossing your fingers?
That is the big question.
Right. Because if so, how is a beginner actually learning to fix a broken system?
What's fascinating here is that you've just highlighted the exact trap most developers fall into. And it's exactly what this course is trying to solve, actually.
Oh, really? So they know about the trap.
Yes, the informal, somewhat chaotic way almost everyone uses AI right now is exactly what you described, just pasting the raw error code into a chat window. But pasting an error message rarely works for complex applications, because the AI lacks context.
Right. It doesn't know what the app actually does.
Exactly. So what this course is doing is formalizing the prompt into a structured discipline.
So they aren't just teaching you to ask the AI to fix it. They are teaching you how to ask.
Precisely. They're teaching you how to build a context window for the AI. You have to explain the current state of the application, the exact data you were trying to pass through a function, what the intended outcome was, and then you provide the error you received. Yeah, it's not just fix this code. It's, I am trying to route user data from my front-end form to my database. Here is the routing logic. Here is the schema. Why is this specific payload failing? The human still has to diagnose the neighborhood of the problem.
Wow. Okay, so if the human has to diagnose the neighborhood, that completely shifts what you need to learn on day one, which actually explains the actual journey a student takes in this course.
It does.
We're looking at a curriculum with 90-plus hours of live training spread across 8 different modules. And module 1 does not start with hello world in JavaScript.
No, it doesn't.
It literally starts with how to prompt for code.
It bypasses the manual typing phase entirely.
Right.
Which is a profound shift in computer science education. I mean, traditionally, you'd spend your first few weeks just learning how to declare a variable or write a loop or understand basic array methods.
It's just the grammar, basically. Oh, yeah. Right.
But here, by modules 2 and 3, students are already building full front-end pages and generating entire back-end architectures.
Well, let's talk about that back-end architecture, actually, because they specifically mention using Node.js, Express, and a database tool called Supabase. If the AI is generating the code anyway, why are they locking into these specific technologies?
Well, it comes down to how large language models operate best.
Okay.
Node.js and Express are incredibly common, meaning the AI models have been trained on millions and millions of examples of them. They generate Express boilerplate just flawlessly.
Oh, that makes sense. Play the hits.
Right. But the inclusion of Supabase is the real tell here. Supabase isn't just a traditional database. It's a backend as a service that auto-generates APIs.
Ah, so it pairs perfectly with AI prompting then.
Exactly. You prompt the AI to define the relationships, like saying, link my users to their purchase history, and the AI generates the SQL tables in Supabase, which then immediately provides the API endpoints for your front end to actually talk to. The friction of setting up the infrastructure is almost entirely removed.
That is wild. I mean, they even mention AI-generated components for the front end and testing APIs via AI for the back end. By module 6, which is literally called advanced vibe coding, they are covering AI-generated database schemas and refactoring massive projects.
Yeah, they ramp up quickly.
So I have to ask a critical question here on behalf of anyone listening who might be a bit skeptical of this entire concept.
Sure.
If you are using AI for your CSS styling and AI to test your APIs and AI to design your database schema, are you actually learning to code? Or are you just learning how to snap together pre-made digital Lego blocks?
That is the defining debate in the industry right now, honestly. Are you a programmer or are you just an operator of an AI engine?
Right.
But if you look at Module 8, the career and final project phase, the answer becomes a lot more clear. The skills emphasized there aren't about writing individual functions at all. They are about planning the architecture, building integrations, and establishing secure authentication flows, like JWT.
JWT, yeah, being the digital token system that keeps logins secure across different parts of an app.
Right. It's a stateless authentication mechanism.
Right.
Now, the AI can write the JWT implementation in seconds. But if you don't understand where to store that token on the front end so it isn't vulnerable to cross-site scripting attacks, your app is useless.
Oh, that's a huge point.
Yeah, the digital Lego blocks you mentioned. They are getting much, much bigger. You aren't molding the plastic yourself anymore. But snapping them together securely, connecting third-party APIs, handling email integrations, ensuring the database talks to the front end seamlessly, that requires a deep understanding of system design.
It's a totally different mindset.
It is. The developer's job has elevated from being the bricklayer to being the architect.
Okay, so if the AI builds a load-bearing wall right in the middle of a hallway, you need the architectural knowledge to say, no, that blocks the data flow, tear it down and route it over there.
Exactly.
You aren't mixing the cement yourself, but you are absolutely responsible for the structural integrity of the building.
And that responsibility is exactly why the human element remains so critical, despite what the marketing might imply.
Speaking of the marketing, we really have to talk about how this cutting-edge curriculum is actually being pitched to prospective students, because the brochure itself is fascinating.
Oh, it really is.
The promises they are making are massive. They offer 100% placement support, continuous support until you get a job, and they boast that they've had 25 students placed in the last 5 months.
And the target audience they claim to cater to is incredibly broad.
It's basically everyone. I mean, fresh graduates, career switchers, working professionals, entrepreneurs, they boldly state no prior programming experience required, noting that familiarity with Microsoft Office is beneficial, but, you know, not mandatory.
Which is quite the leap. from Microsoft Office to full stack developer.
Right. But amidst all these slick promises, there is a quirk in the source material that is frankly hilarious, but also incredibly revealing about the world this course exists in.
Oh, you're referring to the instructor bio.
So, yes. Oh my gosh. Under the trainer details section, the main instructor is listed in a big, bold header as Mr. Tanguturi Dinesh Kumar, an expert and lead instructor with 12 plus years experience. Sounds super impressive.
Sounds very authoritative.
But if you read the very first sentence of his actual bio text right below that header, it immediately contradicts the title. It says he brings over 3 years of hands-on industry and teaching experience.
A sudden and unfortunate drop in seniority.
Oh, but it gets so much worse. Halfway through that exact same bio paragraph, the text just abruptly shifts. It stops talking about Mr. Kumar entirely and starts praising a completely different person.
Out of nowhere.
It says, with a practical, project-oriented teaching style, Pushkara ensures that every student gains strong skills. It goes on to say, her training covers front-end and back-end and praises Mrs. Pushkara for supporting students with mock interviews. Mr. Tanguturi Dinesh Kumar completely vanishes from his own life story.
Yeah. It is so funny. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, this classic copy-paste error perfectly illustrates the reality of modern tech workflows. The course notes there are located near the JNTU metro station in Hyderabad, which is a massive, bustling educational and technological hub.
Right. It's a highly competitive environment. You've got to stand out.
In environments like that, the ship it fast mentality is absolute king. You use generative tools to create content quickly, whether it's a marketing bio for a website or a block of Python code, and you deploy it to meet the deadline. But that error with Ms. Pushkara highlights the exact danger of the very vibe coding they're teaching.
Right, how so?
Because someone prompted an AI to generate an instructor bio, the AI hallucinated or mashed together two completely different profiles, and a human being failed to review the output before hitting publish.
Oh, I see.
Human proofreading, critical thinking, and quality assurance are the only things AI cannot replace.
Wow, it's the ultimate ironic lesson embedded right in their own brochure. I mean, if you don't read the output carefully, you end up introducing Ms. Pushkara into Mr. Kumar's bio. If you do that with the website's copy, it's funny. But if you do that with a payment processing API, you lose millions of dollars.
Exactly. The risk scales with the technology.
So what does this all mean? If you're listening to this right now, maybe you're a developer evaluating your own skills or a manager trying to understand where the tech landscape is heading. Why does a single bootcamp syllabus from Hyderabad matter to the global tech industry?
Well, this raises a really important question about industry standards. If you look closely at the career opportunities section of their brochure, they are not training these students for niche experimental titles. They aren't handing out certificates for prompt engineer or AI whisperer.
No, the titles listed are entirely standard. Full stack developer, front end developer, back end developer, software engineer.
Right. The fact that they are mapping an entirely AI-driven curriculum to standard software engineering roles implies something massive. Vibe coding, the act of using AI to generate your syntax and architecture, is no longer a novelty.
It's the norm.
It's no longer considered an edge case or, you know, cheating. It is rapidly becoming the baseline expectation for standard engineering roles. The industry is silently deciding that if you are a developer who insists on typing every single line of boilerplate from scratch, you are incredibly inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a modern accountant refusing to use spreadsheet software because they prefer writing out ledgers by hand.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. Under the Why Choose Us section, the course offers unlimited LMS access to batches for 365 days. Now, in a traditional university computer science course, the curriculum is relatively static, right? You learn the fundamentals of C++ or Java, you take your test, and you are done. The language isn't going to fundamentally change by next Tuesday.
Right.
But in the current generative AI landscape, a year is an absolute eternity.
Oh, it really is, a lifetime. The version of Cursor they teach on day one might have a completely different user interface by day 60.
Exactly.
The way Supabase handles AI integrations could be entirely overhauled by day 150. The prompting techniques that work perfectly in module 1 might be completely obsolete by the time the student reaches module 8.
Which means the fact that they have to offer a full rolling year of access tells you that the specific tools themselves are secondary. The tools are guaranteed to change.
Yeah.
What this course is actually selling, the core skill of vibe coding, is adaptability. It's the meta skill of continuous learning. You aren't learning a programming language. You are learning how to negotiate with an ever-evolving, highly unpredictable machine.
And that is the true modernization of software architecture. If we look at the evolution of computer science as a whole, this entire deep dive really boils down to one clear takeaway, which is that vibe coding is simply the newest abstraction layer.
Which is another step away from the bare metal.
Exactly. Think about it. We move from physically plugging cables into mainframes, to punch cards, to assembly language. Then we built high-level languages like Python and JavaScript, so we didn't have to manage memory manually.
Right.
Now we are moving to natural language prompting, so we don't have to manage syntax manually. The barrier to writing the code has completely vanished.
The high-stakes spelling bee is officially over.
It is over.
Yeah.
But the barrier to logical thinking remains incredibly high.
Yeah.
The machine can generate 10,000 lines of code in seconds, but it doesn't know why it's generating them. It has no context for the user's business needs or the edge cases of human behavior. The vibe, that intuition, that strategic architectural planning, that ability to spot Ms. Pushkaro in Mr. Kumar's bio that is strictly human, you are the guide.
Man, we started by talking about how learning to code used to be about robotic precision. But now we're seeing that the new era is all about vision, oversight, and managing complexity. This syllabus from Vibe Coding Masters shows us exactly how absolute beginners are being trained to act as architectural directors, prompting an AI to snap massive building blocks together to create these full-stack applications. It's an incredibly empowering shift, lowering the barrier to creation for millions of people. But it leaves us with something to really chew on.
What's that?
Well, if boot camps around the world are now training an entire generation of developers entirely on how to prompt AI to write complex code, what happens in a few years when those massive, intricate systems inevitably break?
And they always break. Software decay is a universal constant.
Right. They always break. And when they do, if the people maintaining these massive systems only know how to ask the AI to fix the bug, what happens when the AI gets confused?
Mm.
What happens when the context window is too large and the AI can't figure out its own logic? Will we suddenly need a completely different kind of educational course?
A reverse boot camp.
Exactly. One that goes backwards, teaching humans how to manually read and untangle the millions of lines of code the AI wrote when there is no human vibe left to debug it. It's almost like we're going to need those spelling bees again just to read what the machine's left behind. Think about that next time you ask a chatbot to fix your typos. Until next time, thanks for diving deep with us.